Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina. Today we're going to complete our discussion on how do you mentor. Just as a reminder, we're covering material that is part of a workshop that we lead in the local Oklahoma City area. But this is just supplemental information, a little bit more in depth to help you as a standalone podcast, again, as a supplement to the workshop. So we're going to pick up with our discussion of how do you mentor with some frequently asked questions. Probably the number one question I get asked when we speak about mentoring is, what do you talk about? Chris, what do you talk about with your mentee?
Well, before I answer that, I'm going to ask another question, which I like to do sometimes.
Oh, goody.
Okay. What should I talk about? Ask yourself, if I had a trusted mentor, what would you want to talk about? If you had a trusted mentor, what would you want to talk about?
Yeah, that's great. It just gets the, what do you talk about? And here there's, it can be as formal or as loose as it needs to be. I know of some mentoring relationships where they go through a study together for a season. I've done that. My personal style is to be sort of thematic. When I meet with somebody, if there's a girl going through a certain issue at the time or a young mom who's just trying to navigate young momhood, we have a topic. Okay, let's talk about menu planning. And
wait, why do you call that fanatic?
I didn't say fanatic.
What did you say?
Thematic.
Oh, I got to just
I thought we have themes that we're talking about.
I'm a bit of a fanatic. I thought menu planning? Why is that fanatical?
No, we talk by themes. So it may be 1 or 2 weeks on this or 1 or 2 weeks on that specific theme.
It's like a recipe. A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Oh, gosh. One of a great tool that we find super helpful, especially when you're beginning the relationship, is a tool that we like to call My Life, My Story. There's a podcast that we've done on that. But it's an excellent resource, an excellent tool to discover somebody's story from their past, their childhood. Where did they grow up? How was life being a member of their family? To then, what is the present? What are your struggles? What are your things that bring a lot of blessing into your life? That's a great, great tool.
Anything? And the future is a piece of that as well. So what are you hoping for the future?
Right.
What are you stressed about for the future?
Yeah.
And I will clarify, as we've developed this tool over the years, you may jump around.
Yeah.
You may ask some questions about someone's past, which will take you to the present, or they may jump to the future.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a one-time sit-down.
No.
We're going to get this covered. I need to know your life story.
And we've got 45 minutes to do it.
Well, even if it's 3 hours,
yeah,
I can give you some basics of my story.
Right.
But you're not going to know my whole story.
Right.
It's a journey. But it's really a simple yet effective tool to get to know someone. And people start feeling known and heard when you go through this tool with them.
What do you talk about? There's another tool that we refer to as the six areas tool. Again, I think there's a podcast on that. But when we refer to the six areas, we say that we are physical, we are spiritual, we are mental, emotional, relational, and then we're professional or educational people. And so that tool is just simple. If I were mentoring you, Chris, let's talk about your physical today. How would you rate yourself in the area of physical? And you, anyway, we won't.
I'd say I'm a 10.
I'm fine.
No, I wouldn't say I'm a 10.
Right.
But no one's ever asked me those kind of questions before.
Right.
About those six areas, and it just helps you to begin to think. Wait a minute, how healthy am I emotionally? And sometimes it takes a question from a trusted mentor to ask me that.
Right. So what you talk about really is determined by what are the goals of this relationship? And then that then informs what you talk about. And then another frequently asked question is, how long does the relationship last? And we have a really great answer for that. It depends.
It depends. Sometimes it's short term. Sometimes
right.
it's long term.
Right.
My personality and my bent tends to go toward, I want it to be long term because I really enjoy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also discovered I can only mentor so many men.
Mm-hmm.
And so some are just short lived, but it doesn't mean they cannot be influential and effective.
Sure. I've got a good mix of both. I've had a lot of success where a young woman has come into my season for a specific goal. She needs help in a certain area. So she needs somebody older and wiser, whatever. And so we've met for 3 months or 6 months because we accomplished the goal. She gained some tools, some better understanding, and those have been great. And sometimes those are really good because you know, okay, this is a short-term thing. Let's pack in as much as we can.
And it has validity.
It does.
It truly does.
It really does.
Because I think about it, there have been some men in my life, it was just for short term.
Yeah.
And some things I needed or learned from.
Mm-hmm. And so when we say long term, what I find when I'm beginning a relationship with a mentee, my long term relationships, they've progressed. It's not necessarily mentor-mentee, it's friendship. So I'm not in that mentor role any longer. They're just my friends.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mention two names,
okay,
Philip and Kevin, in my life. Started out as what would have appeared to have been short-term.
I hope they don't want to be kept confidential.
They don't. They know I love them. There are a lot of Kevins and Philips in the world, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah.
But anyway, these two men, I help fill a father mm-hmm. figure role in their lives.
Sure.
And it's just worked out this way. The relationships have developed. They've had needs and desires that I could fulfill. We've learned a lot together, and it's just been a really great connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like sons to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say those guys are long term. And again, I don't talk to them all the time.
Yeah.
They live in another country, but we have something really special over time that's been built.
Yeah.
And we check in with one another.
So let's just recap. What do you talk about? That depends on what the goal of the relationship is. If there's a specific theme, there is a task, a tool, whatever, then that informs what you talk about. You can use a tool. You can be a little bit rigid if you need to be, if that fits both personalities. But what the goal of relationship is determines what you talk about, as well as how long the relationship lasts. So let's look at some practical tips. These are just things that we have found over the past 30 years of working with people that are just practical things that make sense and work well.
Again, the title of this part two is How Do You Mentor?
Right.
We're all about practical tools and tips to help you along the way.
So one of the things is look people in the eyes. Thank them for taking the time to meet with you. That sounds like such a basic thing, but it's a great practical tip that makes people feel seen. Yeah, literally.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Make sure your body language is engaging.
Sure.
There will be some awkward conversations sometimes that
yeah.
happen because when we open up, we start talking about things we are ashamed of or we're embarrassed of or they're just difficult topics. I've heard some things sometimes that actually have made me go, whoa, that is heavy. Or, man, I've never thought about that before.
Yeah.
I need to keep my facial expression calm. I don't want to freak them out. Because they're trusting me again. So what's your body language?
Right. I heard this said in a conference one time. I thought, well, that's weird. But I actually think it's a very good idea. They're talking about working with people, being a good mentor. And they said, practice your own facial expressions in the mirror. If you are not good at hiding what you're feeling on your face, practice. Practice intentional listening or ask those around you, hey, are there facial expressions? Are there tics? Are there things that I'm doing that
wow.
are distracting
okay.
when somebody is listening?
All right.
That's good feedback.
And we're never talking about being plastic on the outside.
No.
But if I'm sharing something, I don't want that's difficult to share. I don't want someone to have a shocked look on their face. They may feel shocked inside.
Right.
Help me out a bit, though.
Or if you're close enough with somebody, if their resting face looks like they're a mean grouch, then help them with that. Yeah. Put away distractions while meeting. Biggest one, cell phones. Put away your cell phone.
Your smartwatch.
Right. That is, I find that incredibly disrespectful when meeting with somebody and they're on their phone or glancing at their phone every time their watch beeps or whatever. Put away distractions.
Again, these are practical tips. And there's more to the list than we're going to mention on this episode, but don't use overly complicated language, which can confuse people. You may be very intelligent, and there may be terms that you use every day, but maybe the average person doesn't use those terms.
Mm.
Or if you're explaining something in a field that you're an expert in, remember, they may not have
that. Not everybody's an expert, yeah.
Yeah, and so help people to relax, but don't use complicated language,
right?
Bottom line.
This is such a practical thing in all of life, but especially when it comes to mentoring. But ask open-ended questions. So this helps guide the conversation and helps spur conversation. So instead of saying, hey, did you have a good day today? You could ask, hey, what was the best part of your day? That just opens up a mentee for conversation. It's just not, did you have a good day? Yep. Oh, okay. But again, you can ask yes and no questions when you need to clarify. Oh, so when you said that, were you meaning this? That's a perfectly appropriate yes and no. But asking questions that start with how or what or when, those are great open-ended questions.
A mentoring relationship should have a goal.
Yeah.
Or maybe a few goals. Mm-hmm. The mentor and the mentee, they need to come up with these goals together.
I think that's a big misconception with mentoring is what? You just sit around, drink coffee, and talk? Well, we talk because there's a goal. There's something the mentee wants help with, something they want to try to achieve. So conversation is then directed toward that. It's just not willy-nilly conversation. Yeah.
It could be something as simple as, well, I say simple. The mentee could go, you know, I want to be a better public speaker. Mm-hmm. It really makes me nervous. But in my job, I have to do that. Guys, you can take a mentor if you have some experience in that, or let's say you don't. Bring someone else in to help them with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have some goals. It's encouraging and when you reach goals together.
Right. And you kind of know where it's going, right? So take one topic at a time. I've sat across the cafe table with some girls who, they've got a lot of situations that there's a lot screaming in their life. If we try to tackle all of it at once, it's too overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
So we say, okay, what's the one area that really, if this were better in balance, you could deal with the other? And we take one topic at a time. I just think that's good, sound, practical advice.
I briefly mentioned this a few seconds ago. Connect your mentee with others when needed. So mm-hmm. I think I'm a really good mentor, but I don't have science and nutrition background. Mm-hmm. But I have a good friend who does. He's a scientist. Mm-hmm. He's gifted at this. So anytime someone that I'm mentoring has a health issue, and then maybe they need to take supplements or medication, and they don't have an answer on that, I will reach out to my friend. Mm-hmm. I'll either connect those two. That's usually better because he can explain to them yeah. in ways that I can't. Be a resource. Be a connector for the people you mentor.
Yeah. And see people as unique individuals. That seems like a given, but not every university student is the same. Not every young mom is the same. Take the time to really see the uniqueness in your mentee.
Be creative.
In where and how you meet.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, turn a somersault. As you ask them a question.
Bless your heart.
Be creative in where and how you meet. Christina, give me an example of that, or do you have one?
Well, like you have said in the past that you have met guys before working out because conversation, you're sharing a common interest.
Oh, you say before we're actually going to the gym together.
Right. I've had times where maybe I've missed a mentee, schedules have been busy or whatever, and I need to get some errands done. I'll say, hey, ride along with me. Let's talk as we drive or whatever. Going on a walk, sitting outside. It didn't have to be across from a cafe. Yeah, just be creative. What fits the mentee and the mentor? Yeah.
I think especially in the beginning for some people, maybe if someone's an introvert and they haven't had this experience before about mm-hmm. having someone be so intentional with them, it may be difficult for them to open up initially.
Yeah.
But if you go to the gym together, and I've done this a number of times, you're working out and you're asking these good questions as you're working out, it doesn't feel as threatening.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel as, you're not going too personal with me. But if you, as opposed to some men, you stare across from them at a table mm-hmm. and ask them these questions, they may go, whoa.
Yeah.
Something happens when you're doing something active together. So being creative.
Well, there's a reason we say real life mentoring.
Good point.
Because just do real life with people. Sometimes that real life doesn't lend itself to a coffee at a cafe. It means you're helping her clean her house or whatever. And this goes without saying, but participate in the milestones of a mentee's life, their birthdays, graduations, milestones of their children, losses mm-hmm. That they have experienced. Boy, that intentionality can grow a relationship by leaps and bounds.
And be flexible is another one.
Yeah.
We're not talking physically.
Right.
You're not going that way to the gym, but be flexible. So, and be adaptable. Those two go together. Be
sure.
Flexible and be adaptable. Be willing to put your plan aside if the mentee has a particular need that day that you meet.
Right.
Let's say you have we have a goal. Mm-hmm. And so today or tomorrow, we're going to talk about this. That's great to have that in place.
Mm-hmm.
But life happens in the meantime.
Right.
And let's say something happens that really upsets that mentee. That is on the front of their mind.
Right.
Their thoughts. That's what they need to talk about.
That's what you need to address.
Put
yeah.
Put your plan aside because you're honoring that person by doing that and you're showing them value. And I promise you, the next time you meet, they will want to talk about that goal you have together because you just showed them so much care the time before.
Well, because I'm so passionate about mentoring young moms, this really comes into play. Not always is a young mom able to get away and go to a cafe. So I've come after bedtime after she gets those sweet babies in bed. Then we have a tea on her couch, or we've sat out on her patio while she plugged in a movie for her kids or whatever. Just, yeah, look at your context and be adaptable and be flexible. Anything else?
I think that's good. Guys, again, this is not an exhaustive list.
No.
Practical tips. I will learn something probably tomorrow. In fact, this workbook that we're going through, once it was printed, I had other ideas or someone shared something with me and I jotted it down. Add that to the list.
Yeah. You know, Chris, you just mentioned that workbook. If you're listening to this and going, hey, I want a copy of this workbook, shoot us an email. We'd be happy to send you one. We just charge $10 for the content. That's what it cost us to publish those. If you'd like one, shoot us an email. We'd be happy to send it out. So this wraps up part two of How Do You Mentor? If this has been helpful to you, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. If you have some practical tips that you have found if you're in the field, then hey, let us know. We always like to grow and gain that toolbox of mentoring tools. So subscribe and like the podcast. If you're interested in contributing to future podcasts that give content on mentoring, then go to FahrenheitMentoring.org, go to that podcast tab, and you can donate there to continue the production of podcast. As always, we don't take lightly the time that you've invested in just listening to this podcast. So thank you so much for listening.